I want to go back into John 17. As you know, we're swimming in John 14, 15, 16, and 17 right now. And these are the words that were given to the 11 disciples after Judas left the room. John's the only one that wrote about these words. No other writer caught them. Paul later was taught some of the same revelations as John was. But John caught this and he recorded it. And none of the other gospels recorded what happened. Now, what's interesting about John 17, it is the whole chapter's a prayer. If you want to look at the life of the Lord, it's a prayer that he prayed to the Father, and he was praying not only for those 11, but he was praying for you and I as well. He says, all those that will believe upon them through these words, which is us. So this prayer the Lord prayed for you, and it's still being answered. And understand that he didn't arbitrarily, this is the final prayer that he prayed. The only other prayer he prayed, he really was a statement on the cross. He said, forgive them, they know what they do. But this prayer was his final prayer to the Father. It was final prayer, his final will. And there's so much in this prayer when you look into it, because it's culminating everything he said to them in the upper room. There's a few things I want to bring out. I want you to look at one thing, John 17. This is his prayer for oneness. So much going on in this prayer. I want you to notice something. Actually, this truth hit me very big on Thursday. It launched me to another level. He's describing the oneness. The oneness he's talking about is not like, let's all get in unity together. This is not earthly unity he's talking about. It's heavenly union with the Father. He's bringing us up into union with the Father. The same union he held. He started describing this union in John 14 when he began, when Philip asked him, show us the Father. And the Father actually spoke through the Lord. He says, have you not seen me, Philip? And then the Lord said, how sayest, show us the Father? And because the Father said, have you not seen me, the Father? He goes, who do you, and then the Lord said, it's the Father that's doing these works. It's not I'm that doing it. It's my Father. And he said this. He says, the Father that dwelleth in me. And he constantly said this. It's my Father's. It's not my doctrine. It's my Father that's with me. I and my Father are one. The Father was dwelling in him. And this was the position. He said, now he that believeth upon me, what I do, you'll do. Because I'm going to give you the same relationship that I have with the Father. This is the part of the gospel a lot of people miss. We get born again, we know Jesus, we know the Holy Ghost, but this union with the Father. We will get encounters with the Father, we know God's our Father, but we don't understand the union part, the oneness part. The part he actually gave, he says, you can believe this, he said in John 14, he says, in that day, you will know that I dwell in my Father and you dwell with me in the Father. And then a lot of people, well, that's for later, you know, after you die, you know, then you have union with the Father. But that can't be so, because John 16, he said, in that day, he goes, right now I'm speaking to you in Proverbs. But in that day, speaking of the day he just talked about, I will openly show you the Father. I'm going to reveal him to you. The spiritual Father, I'm going to show and reveal openly to you. And then in that day that I show you the Father, or I introduce you to the Father, then you can ask in my name and it'll be done for you. So he wouldn't be talking about an afterlife, because it wouldn't be too good to ask then. You're done here. He's talking about prayer here after he reveals the Father. We got into that with prayer. But back into John 17, in verse 21, he said something very remarkable. He's starting here. He's going to pray the prayer of oneness here. And this prayer, he's still praying. He ever liveth to make intercession for you. He sit at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you. And here's his prayer, that they all may be one. And then he describes the one. He's not talking about all of us in the earth being one. This is, he's talking about a heavenly operation here. He says, and he describes it as, Father, you are in me, or you dwell in me, Father, and I'm dwelling in you, that they may now come and dwell in us. You see how the Lord's opening the door for this thing called union, the indwelling. You can't do that in the natural. That operation had to be given to you from above. Now watch this. Watch verse 22. Read this the way the Holy Ghost wants you to read it. Amen. Say, the glory... The glory Now, there's the Shekinah of glory, the cloud of glory. There's a lot of different glory. This glory he's talking about is the glory he had with the Father. Listen, not even the angels had this. Not Gabriel, not Michael, none of them. They did not have union with the Father. They were created beings. They served. They dwelt in the presence of the Father. But only the Lord was in union in the Father. It was this thing that they shared with all eternity where he was in the Father and the Father was in him. It was a perfected union. And not even the angels or any created being in heaven had this. But the Lord gave this to us as sons and daughters. Notice what he says, in the glory you've given me, Father. He's praying to the Father. The glory you've given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. Now, did you get that? See, because you read it through your head, it's like you just read through that. Now, read it again by the Holy Ghost. The glory, Father, you've given me, I have given. It's been given. It is a state of oneness, an operation of union that you have been given from above, from the Father, and the Lord made it possible. You've been given it by grace. You've been given the position by grace. It is a given position. Just like he made you the righteousness of God, he has given you this position, not by your works, not how good you are, not how good you're going to be tomorrow. It's already been given. You have an inherited right as a son or daughter of the Most High God to dwell in the Father. To dwell where the Lord is, in the Father, to dwell in his love, to dwell in union, to be one. Say one. It's an inherited position given. When you're struggling to get in, you can hold that word. It's been given to me. It's mine. See, you got to receive the truth. You have to receive and agree with what God has said. If you receive it and you agree with it, you can move in it. You see that? Say, it's been given. How many of you know that salvation's been given? Raise your hand. Well, you didn't know that before you were born again. Do you know before Martin Luther, they worked for that kind of thing? Indulgences, penance, they did all kinds of things, working for salvation until truth arrived. And he nailed the 99 theses and of justification by faith on the wall of the church. And when truth arrived, it set the church into a restoration mode. We are justified by faith. We are saved by what? By grace. Through faith. That is our standing. Could we be saved by our good works? No. Could we be saved? We couldn't be saved that way. So you had to freely accept what has been given. You had to freely accept. So we get that part, but then we want to work for other parts. Because it's nature to try to enter into this glorious union with the Father. The first thing that's going to happen in trying to get in the union is the enemy is going to remind you of who you are. He's going to remind you, and you're going to feel who you are. You're going to feel your stuff. You're going to feel the disunion. You're going to feel the disharmony. You're going to feel the weight of your faults. You're going to feel unworthy. At times, you'll feel certain things because you're monitoring this position of union. You're monitoring or filtering it through your own life. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. I'm sure the Father knows what you've done. I'm quite certain the Father knows exactly what you did. Adam, where are you? Like God didn't know where Adam was? So God brings another Adam, the final Adam, and he comes, where I am, the response to Adam, where are you? The final Adam goes, where I am, here I am, there now you shall you be also. The final Adam restored the position of where you are. He said, now where I am, I'm back. And he's drawing everybody into union. That's why you go by faith and not by works, and you go by revelation. You can hold that word and say, it's been given to me from above. Listen to me. The greatest day of your life after being saved, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, the greatest day of your life is to be able to march you and all your faults into the Father. To walk into the Father with all your faults and to realize He's not holding any of it against you. To realize that what you feel and the disunion you feel, it doesn't have the power to keep you from Him. The day that I realized I could go, and I, you know, when I was feeling good and I was in the Spirit, that's a different, but when I wasn't feeling so good and I had faults and I had issues and the nature when I do that is to go hide. I know I'm not the only one talking about it in here. Go hide, go get me some fig leaves and hide. God, I'll talk to you when I feel a lot better. I don't feel like talking to you right now. I'm sure you don't want to talk to me right now. The day that I took those feelings, I remember, I said, no, I'm going to take all this stuff and I'm going right into you, Father. And I took these words. I said, it's been given. It's been given to me. It's a glory that's been given. The glory to be one, to dwell in you, Father. It's been given to me by grace. It's not of my works. You accept me. I'm coming in. I need some perfecting. That's pretty obvious. We all need perfecting. But I gotta know that I can bring my imperfection to Him. And if I can't bring my imperfection to Him, I'm gonna spend my whole life outside of Him. Because I'm never gonna be perfect enough. So if my faith cannot overcome my own imperfection, how am I ever gonna dwell with Him? Who of you are gonna be perfect enough to dwell with a perfect God? I have to take my imperfection and believe that I can enter into the union of His love. And I have to do that with His words because everything in me doesn't feel. It doesn't feel like I'm in union. I want the feeling of His love, but I'm feeling the stuff of my own life. But I'm taking His words instead of my feeling. It's been given. It's been given to me from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. When God gives something, one awesome thing about Him, and probably one of His downfalls is when He gives something, He don't take it back. When God gives it, He gives it. Oh, I'm going to take that back to you. You're better. No, He doesn't do that. He gives it. Everyone say, it's been given. My glory, the Lord said, my glory, not even Gabriel had that. Not even Michael the archangel. No created being in heaven had what he had with the Father. He's the only one that came out of the heart of the Father. He came out of the bosom of the Father. He goes, I'm coming back to you, Father, but I'm going to bring all the sons and daughters, and I'm going to give them my inherited position that I have with you, which is oneness, to dwell in love with you, in perfect love, in oneness, not just to dwell in your presence. The church has stopped far short of what God wants. Because what they do is they hit the outer perimeters of presence. They hit the inner perimeter of presence. And they dwell in presence. And God wants you dwelling in. Not just presence, but in Him. That is a glory that's been given to us from above. It's been given of the Lord. And it was His highest priority outside of salvation was to bring you into the union that He had with the Father. There was no higher priority. And He prayed it. And He said in John, in verse 24, He said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am in you. Nobody else had that. Nobody. Do you understand the value that God has placed upon us to give us this? To be with Him where I am. That they may behold your glory. They may behold my glory, Father, which is you. The Father, listen, you can write this down. The Father was the Lord's glory. The Father was His glory. He said, they behold my glory that I have with you. For you love me, Father, from the foundations of the world. You love me. And I'm bringing them to where you are. Isn't that glorious? Everyone look at your neighbor and say, it's been given. It's been given. When you're going in and you don't feel it, you can say it. You can hold that word. It's been given. Your glory, you've given to me. It's a gift to dwell in oneness. I need a little air. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift of grace. It's the greatest gift He's given me outside of salvation. I don't struggle with salvation. And I'm not struggling with oneness. If I couldn't get saved by myself, I'm not going to get into oneness by myself. It's been given. I'm coming in because it's been given. I'm coming in because it's been given. Because it's mine. I take inherited ownership of what you gave me, Lord. Now you can spend the rest of your life outside of that union. Or you can start agreeing with what he said. He says, if a man will keep my words, my Father will bring him to where we are and he will love you. It's been given. It's a gift. I receive. Everyone say, I receive. I receive. It's been given to me. A lot of people think you got to have 15 pages of scriptures to get in. That one verse will take you in. The glory you have is now mine, Lord. The glory that you had with the Father, that you still have with the Father, you dwell with Him. Your glory of oneness, dwelling in the Father, not even the angels have, has been given to me. It's mine. Everyone say, it's mine. I'm just going to harp on this one verse, all service. So tomorrow when you go pray, or today, that one verse will be in you. It's mine. You will. Then He follows it up with, Father, I will. I will, Father. I will. Well, if it be the Lord's will, it's His will. If it be His will, I will they be with me where I am. It's been given to me to be with you where you are, Lord. It's been given to me to dwell with the Father. It's been given to me to cross over. To cross over. Now, a lot of times what will happen, as I'm here to teach you, I'm not here to perform, I'm here to teach you. I want you, because my calling, as I understand it right now, is to help God's people get to the Father. To dwell in the Father. That is my calling. Because that has ultimately changed my life, it's going to ultimately change your life, and then the next level, you know, He's going to come back and dwell with us. We're not there yet, so we're still, so it's to get you where He is in the Father. Amen. To get you, not for Father to come here yet, for you to come to where He is. This is our calling and our thrust. Now here's what will happen. When you're first starting, or there's a lot of different things have happened, you've got a lot of activity going on in your life, a lot of warfare, whatever. So you go to pray and you're holding this word that He said, okay, it's been given to me. 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 And you're sitting there trying to move in, and ultimately what will happen is you get distracted and your mind will get out serving tomorrow's stuff, thinking about or yesterday or present cares. And when you let yourself get out too far, you get detached. And when you get detached, you can't move. See, you can't move because this type of prayer is the highest order of prayer. And the reason it is, it's because it requires you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, all of your soul. You can't just take one part of you like tongues. I don't need to love God with all my heart to pray in tongues. I can go watch the Texans play tomorrow night, Dallas play today, and I can pray in tongues the whole time. I can pray in tongues. I don't need my mind to pray in tongues. And I can watch TV with my mind and pray because it doesn't require that. But this kind of prayer of entering in is going to require a union. It's going to take all of you to get through that door. And if you don't have all of you centered, and part of you's over here, and half of you's giving lip service, and the other part's over here, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to get centered in enough to move into that realm. Because this realm requires to love Him with all your heart. Your heart's got to be connected with all your mind. The problem with this is our minds are not used to being submitted to anything. Because the systems of this world constantly are entertaining the mind. Now we're in an age of the social revolution where the iPad and the iPhone, everywhere you go. I was in Starbucks the other day and I look at 15 people and everybody was glued to their phone. They are just here the whole time. And it's your connection to the world through this phone. So it's requiring your obedience to the world. Wants your obedience. It wants to connect you. It's not a bad thing. But when it comes to prayer, you're not going to have that phone. If you think you're going to get into this realm bringing your phone into the prayer closet, you can just forget it. You might as well just don't listen to another word I say, because I'm telling you, if you stick your phone in there, bring that phone in there and think you're going to get in union with God with that phone, because the first thing's going to happen is somebody's going to text you. Oh, Father, I love you. I keep your words, the glory you've given to me. Hold on. You had 30 minutes. I love you. And the glory you've given me, Father, I have given them. And I receive this glory, and I'm one with you. I'm one with you. That's not going to work. You're giving him honor with the lips, but your head and your mind is in your phone. I don't put it next to my bed anymore, because if I wake up, I have a tendency to go grab that, and I want to connect. See, if I start connecting too much, it's going to make it very hard for me to connect to God. The more I connect to the world, the more God gives night for a reason. It's one of the greatest things he gave. God didn't give night for darkness. He gave night to reset you. So he can reset you fresh every day. He gives you one new day. And so when he resets you, what you're going to do those first 5, 10, 15 minutes is most important. If you allow yourself to engage with the world, you're not going to move in this realm. It's going to be harder and harder and harder. Sometimes I kick myself if I'm not perfect in my obedience yet. And I'll kick myself because I'll just open something up. I did that the other day, and I opened an email, and bam, something came through that email. It wasn't good. And I wasn't ready to handle it, and it messed me up all day long. Because I wasn't ready, because I didn't have my shield on, see. And I did something God told me not to do. I opened up, see. That's a temptation. Open, open, open. I'm trying to get my coffee. I'm like, it cannot get in the pot fast enough. I need my coffee, and that thing is prophesying to me. Open! You got to love him with all your heart. He said, this is the first commandment. It's easy enough. We haven't got that one down yet. If we can just do the first one, love him with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. If you truly can love him, then every part of you is going to get integrated with his word. It's going to submit to his word. It has been given to me from above. When I do this, when you see me doing this, I'm here with his word. I'm not looking at me. I got his word. I'm holding it. My mind is here. My heart is here. My words are here. My spirit's here. My soul is, everything is in. I don't let it out. And if it does, I grab it and pull it right back. The day you learn to do that, you're focusing into the kingdom, see, and what's going to happen, that word is going to deliver you into the Father. And when it does, it delivers you into the realm of the Spirit, where you don't sit there and have to do that, then everything gets freed up. Because you don't have the limitations of the earth on you anymore. You don't have anything pulling on you. Now you're in the love of the Father. You're surrounded. You're clothed. You're fluid. You're full. It's glorious. Nothing's pulling on you. You don't have any tanglements. And you come out of that place. If you got any today, it's been given. It's a gift. It's like salvation. It's the glory that he gave you to be in union with him and the Father was the greatest gift he gave us outside of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and salvation. It was the union. That place, everything about the kingdom is going to revolve around that. And once we learn to move into that, what's going to happen is you're going to realize God loves you. And you're going to realize none of your imperfections are going to keep you from him. You're going to be able to come to him. You're going to be able to dwell in his love to the fullest. And man, he's so full that you don't leave with a half tank. He fills you up. And there's nothing in my life that I had that can fill me to that level. Over the years, nothing, no ministry, nothing can do that. Nothing exteriorly can do that. Even the presence of the Lord, the outer perimeters, can't do what his love does. And so the Lord knows we were made for love. He wants us to get to his Father's love, the great love, and dwell in the Father. And you got to know it's been given to you. It's a gift. The Lord purchased it for you. You cannot work for it. You're never going to be good enough or perfect enough for it. The first thing you have to do is accept it, hold it, keep it, and believe it. Amen? No matter what you feel, accept the fact that he's given you the union. Accept it, and then you'll start moving in. And what happened? Faith will override the walls between you and God. Because you're going to feel the separation when you're trying to approach God in these realms. You'll feel the separation. But these words have the power to penetrate separation. And that's the hard part, because people don't know how to penetrate the separation. They don't know how to, I'm just going to stay with this. They don't know how to get through that separation. They feel that wall. You ever prayed and you feel like a brick wall is between you and God? See, you don't know how to get through that. And your worship song you've been riding in on for the last 50 times, it won't take you in anymore. You know, and you're playing it and like, come on, take me. You took me there 5 days ago. Take me. It won't take, keep taking you. It'll eventually not be able to get, and then you got this wall. And then you throw a fit and that doesn't take you in. Then you get frustrated and that doesn't take you in. What's going to pierce that veil? You got to have something that's going to pierce the veil. If you don't pierce the veil, you're going to live on this side of it and it's going to intimidate you the rest of your life. And you're going to live far below what God wants and what the Lord wants from you. Something's got to get me through that veil. Something's got to get me through that brick wall. Something's got to get me through that atmospheric thief that's standing between me and God. What's going to get me through? The word of John 14, 15, 16, 17. I hold it. I keep it. I focus. It's been given to me. Freely, it's been given. What I do, it's like I'm a battering ram. It's been given. I'll just enter into that wall with those words. It's been given. It's been, because I'm not focused on that wall. I'm focused on that word. It's been given to me to be in perfect union with you. It's been given to me to be in union. Not even the angels hold this. You've gave it to me, Lord. Your glory. You will that I be with you. Every time I'm saying and I'm moving through that wall, you will that I be with you where you are, where you are. Where you are, and then what happens is you start penetrating through that wall, you'll start feeling the freedom, the liberty, the love. And what happens, you enter into this room of the Father's love. And you've went through that curtain, that wall. And on this side, that wall collapses. When you get in the love of the Father, it doesn't intimidate you anymore, see. Once you learn to penetrate that wall with a word, it stops. There is no more intimidation anymore. It collapses. Faith will collapse the separation. Faith will collapse the separation. And then union with the Father is yours. When you start dwelling in the Father, it opens us up to all things now. Amen. Glory to God. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Come on, Carlos.
Yesterday, I was at a friend's boy's birthday party at a park. And I was sharing about union with God, John chapter 14 through 17. And one of the things that I picked up in the spirit, and I'm saying this to myself right now too, so it's for all of us. And when I was sharing that, I was also tying in Ephesians 2, where it says that we've been raised together with Christ, because I was telling them, Jesus, right before he went to the Father, before crucifixion, he was sharing with his disciples, but he was also sharing it with us. And I went through the whole scriptures. And I said, and he said he was going to go prepare a place for us so that where he is, there we may be also. And then I shared Ephesians 2. I said, we've been raised together with Christ. We're seated with him in heavenly places. And I saw the way it seemed foreign, like distant, like the third heaven, like way out there. But Luke 17:21 says that the kingdom of heaven is within. It's not by observation. It's within. So, pastor has shared before that God had him train himself to think instead of going up, like to heaven, the kingdom of heaven is within. So don't ever allow that going into the Father seem like something that's so distant. He's already in. We have everything inside. We just need we're still piercing through faith, and there is a veil that we break open, but it's already in us. There's no distance. Jesus already broke that distance.
Hallelujah. Well said. Praise the Lord. Just practice that this week. Practice, practice, practice. Keep your focus. Take that one word you've given me. It's a gift, Lord. It's a gift. It's like salvation. It's a gift. As you hold it, focus, let it, watch it pierce the veil. Watch him march you through a veil. When he does that, you'll realize those veils were meant to keep you managed all your life. Now you're breaking ceilings that have been on your life. As you're breaking the ceiling on your life, you're opening yourself to the future with God you would have none otherwise had. A fullness, a glory, and a grace.